Good evening, my friends. Glad you're here. Of course, it is Thursday evening, January 25th, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Ah, yes. What can I say, folks? Frankly Speaking Radio, as the week resumes. I'm very excited that obviously things seem to be working out really well so far. If I were a pessimist, I'd say, when's the other shoe going to drop? We got no technical difficulties thus far. Okay? My voice sounds better. I'm feeling better, although I didn't really feel that bad to begin with, just some congestion. But this week of carrot juice has certainly done wonders for me on many, many levels. So what the heck? What's going to happen next? You know, I used to be that way. I used to be that guy. Oh, everything's looking great. What's going to happen next? I can't enjoy the good things because, of course, inevitably they'll go away. They'll be taken away, whatever the case may be. I just can't live like that anymore. And I'm pretty excited about this, though. But, you know, it's easy to get into that mindset. You know, you can only get beaten on so many times before you start to wince just when somebody makes a move. Anyway, hopefully that's not your state of being. Hopefully that's not going to be mine either. Anyway, it's a very exciting evening here at Frankly Speaking Radio, and I'm glad you're aboard. Welcome to all of those listening at 3.215 on the shortwave dial. Welcome to all those listening online at rbnlive.com. And, of course, welcome to all of you listening on AM and FM stations across the country, across the world. I'm glad you're here. Let me remind you of our website, www.franklyspeakingradio.com. Webmaster James does a great job with that thing, so make sure you let him know you appreciate him. And, of course, if you need to get a hold of me, you can do so through the website. There's lots of information there. There's an address to mail things. There's a phone number to call. There's also an email address for the webmaster. You'll be emailing him. He will be forwarding it to me. And the reason for that is not because I need him to screen things or whatnot. It's just quite simply that a lot of people do try to send me computer viruses, and he actually is my armor in that regard, and he does an amazing job. Webmaster James, folks, he is a personal hero to me. So, in addition to that, be aware of this. The phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So, as we get started here in hour number one, I figured we'd do some news, since we haven't really done a whole lot in the, what is this, our third week? Second week? Third week. Yes, our third week here in the new time slot. And news is something I'm a big fan of. Hopefully you are as well, because this is every single indicator of where we're going. I don't know what it is. You can call it maybe the grace of God, perhaps. But I do think that pretty much everything that has to come down the line is telegraphed in some capacity, and some of it by necessity. For example, let's say that you live in a relatively small town. Let's say there's an explosion. You look out your window and you see a fire. Well, odds are your local media is not going to be able to ignore that. People are going to be asking too many questions, and they have to at least say something about it. Well, the bigger the city gets, the more they can, of course, contain certain things. There's more things that would be deemed quote-unquote newsworthy, things they could cover, and murders and robberies and vandalism and all the like. But when something is apparent, they have to at least address it. It's the elephant in the room. Too many people wondering. Whereas in the town I live in, which is not small by any means, it's not a huge area either. It's probably the perfect size. You'll see things going on, police, you know, outside a building or you know, encircling a car with guns drawn, things like that. You know, that doesn't quite make the media. Maybe a couple weeks later, I've noticed, but anyway. So the news is a vital component to the truth, folks, and we'll delve into it here when we come back in about 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stick around.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine, Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
1, 2, 3,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna, but can't stand to see me walk out the door? Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking to together, cause we don't know how.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. It is Thursday evening. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome. So, I mentioned that we would talk some news. So let's talk about some politics, shall we? Now, that's very, very important because this is kind of the gauge by which we will be able to determine sort of where we go in the future. And I'm not real big on understanding the future or seeing the future, but I am big on preparedness, and I do like to prepare myself for certain things, even if it's just psychological preparation for a female president. And of course, I would be speaking of one Hillary Clinton. This story from Time.com came out today. Hillary Clinton is the clear frontrunner to win the Democratic Party's nomination for president in 2008, but the Republican race will be a close contest between Senator John McCain and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, with McCain edging Giuliani by a 3-4 point margin. And a presidential face-off between Clinton and McCain right now would be close to a dead heat. So, they're saying, basically, Hillary's got it as far as poll numbers go. okay, for the Democratic Party, and it looks like McCain is in the lead for the Republican Party, and between the two of them, it's a very, very close race. Now, first things first, we all know about McCain and Giuliani. These guys are definitely players. Obviously, Hillary Clinton is. So the question remains, are there anybody in any candidates or prospective candidates in either party who are not players, who are not in the loop, who are not in the know, who are not bought and paid for? And obviously that would remain to be seen, depending on how this list of candidates sort of changes over time. Obviously, we still got a ways to go, but we do need to start looking at these things. Story goes on. Despite the buzz generated by Senator Barack Obama entering the race, the survey found that Senator Clinton would beat him for the Democratic nomination by a margin of 40% to 21%. Senator John Edwards is a distant third with 11%. So, I've made the claim that it would be Clinton and Edwards. Clinton, obviously, for president, John Edwards for VP. And people say, well, what about Obama and Hillary? What do you think about that? Well, I don't really see that happening. I don't. I just think... I think that America, for the most part, whether it would like to admit it or not, is not ready for a black president. I just don't see it. Now, you'd say, oh, what about a vice president? Well, again, certain issues would arise with that, too. I think it was Chris Rock during one of his comedies, in his stand-up comedy, so it's not a real thing. He said if there was ever a black vice president, some black guy, meaning himself, is what he was saying in this contest, he said he'd just go and kill the president. And he would make the black vice president become the first black president. He said, what are you going to do, send me to jail and treat me as a hero for the rest of my life? Well, you know, I'm not saying that that's the case, but, you know, when words like that are spoken, it does make people think. So anyway, it would be certainly a great, great surprise to a lot of people to have the first female president and the first black vice president as a duo. And it may be the case. I don't know. But I suspect more along the lines of Hillary and Edwards. I think Obama is an up-and-coming guy, and I think that they probably don't have their claws into him wholeheartedly just yet. But at the same time, I think that he could be bought, and he could be told basically, hey, look, wait your turn, and you will be the first black president. And in which case, he'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. Sounds good to me. So, this guy's more of a rising star rather than an established contender, so I don't see Obama being involved in it at all. Although I could be, as I said, completely and totally wrong. And I don't have a problem with a female president, and I don't have a problem with a black president myself. I do have a problem with Hillary as president. I just don't like her. And I think a lot of people might share that opinion. And if you do, well, hopefully it's based on some actual history and whatnot. I've done many, many shows on Hillary Clinton, and I do live in Arkansas, so I do hear things. Some of it more, perhaps more valid than others. Anyway, back to the story. Obama, it says, clearly suffers a disadvantage in profile among likely voters, with only 51% indicating they knew enough about him to form an opinion, compared with 94% saying the same of Hillary Clinton. In Obama's favor, however, is a far lower negative rating. While 58% of voters familiar with Hillary have a positive view of her, 41% give her negative marks for a net favorability score of plus 17. By contrast, Obama's net favorability score is plus 47. So basically, nobody knows enough crap about this guy, okay, to think bad thoughts about him. Now, is that necessarily the case? No. Actually, he's got a few skeletons in his closet from what I have read, and I'm not talking about that he went to a school for radical Islam in his youth. I'm not talking about that. That was mostly just one of those things to kind of be exposed as a big best right-wing conspiracy, as Hillary would say, in order to discredit the candidates and whatnot and things like that. Well, the conspiracy was to act like these two are going after each other, but then it would be exposed, so it would look like it was some right-wing conspiracy type of thing, right? So, anyway, he does, though, according to some news accounts, have some issues, some drama in his background, if you will. Story goes on, Clinton's popularity within her party does not translate as easily across party lines as Obama's does, or indeed as Giuliani's and McCain's. Only 58% of the total sample of respondents had a very or somewhat favorable impression of her, compared with 82% for Giuliani, including 7 out of 10 Democrats, and 70% each for Obama and McCain. So what you've got here is some very interesting things. They're talking about cross-party lines. Okay, people in other camps who would vote outside their party for a candidate, meaning that Democrats, okay, a great portion of them, 7 out of 10, would vote for Giuliani over Hillary. Ah, that's interesting, because again, the objective is to get Hillary into power, in my opinion. As a result of that, that means then that Giuliani cannot be the Republican candidate if they're looking to kind of fix the election. And you'd say, talking about fixing elections again, Frank, you crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, not so much, and we'll get into that. So, Giuliani, McCain, and Obama are likely to have voters from outside their party. So, again, Hillary is the most entrenched, I would say, of all four. Obama's the least experienced of all four. And, it's probably going to have to go Democrat in 2008, which means that McCain and Giuliani, if they would pull Democratic voters over to the Republican side, well, you can't have that. So that's why, you know, something different might have to occur as far as the Republican side of things. But again, we go on. If the election were held now, it says Rudy Giuliani appears to have the support of the greatest number of respondents of both parties, with 56% indicating they definitely or probably support him, followed by Hillary at 51, McCain at 50, Obama at 50. Okay, so again, Giuliani would steal Democrat votes. So, I don't know. But Giuliani's also a player. Okay, he's also one of the guys, one of the gang, one of the insiders, which means that he would take the dive much like John Kerry did in 2004, if told to do so. It goes on. But Clinton has a strong edge when the question is which presidential candidate people would most like to have over to their homes for dinner. The former First Lady led the dinner invitation field with 26%. How about that? People would most like to have dinner with Hillary than any of the political candidates. That's interesting. But again, folks, this is a poll. Polls can be fixed. Polls will be fixed. Make no mistake. But Hillary does lead the whole crowd, in essence. Okay? McCain leads for the Republicans. Hillary leads for the Democrats. Hillary could, you know, in the poll numbers, she does beat McCain. So there you have it. So you can kind of get a feel for, as I said, their telegraphing of how things will go. But then, of course, they have to counterbalance it. They don't want it to look too certain. They want to keep people on the edge of their seats a little bit. So you throw in some of this. Listen to this. The headline from this story, which came out yesterday at ABC News, says Hillary's Hollywood friends switch sides. Oh, no! They open with the question, is Hollywood abandoning Hillary? Well, didn't they just say that in the headline? Yes, they did. Hillary's Hollywood friends switch sides. But the first line said, is Hollywood abandoning Hillary? So if you just read the headlines, you may think you know the story, but unless you read it, you don't. And the question, is Hollywood abandoning her? No. Which we'll get into. Listen to this. On Wednesday morning, hundreds of Hollywood's movers and shakers received an invitation that they may find hard to refuse. They've been invited to come and meet Senator Barack Obama, the Democratic Party's new superstar. He already has the buzz, but can he bring home the prize? Movie moguls Steven Spielberg, David Geffen, and Jeffrey Katzenberg want their Hollywood peers to join them at a February 20th fundraiser the three are throwing for Obama. For $2,300 a person and $4,600 a couple. Do they need to do that? $2,300 a person, well, with a couple, meaning two people, it would obviously be $4,600, but of course they have to treat us like we're stupid. But anyway, for $2,300 a person or $4,600 for a couple, they can meet the candidate at a reception at the Beverly Hilton Hotel from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Those who commit to raising $46,000 for the evening will be invited to a private dinner at Geffen's Beverly Hills home. Ooh! For only $46,000, I can go to a famous mogul's Beverly Hills home and eat dinner? Ooh! $46,000? I can think of much better ways to spend that money. Stay with us, folks. We're right back in 3 minutes.
1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Welcome back, my friends. It is Thursday evening. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We're talking about Hillary Clinton and her her Hollywood friends abandoning her. Again, you'll see that that's not necessarily the case. It says the fundraiser, meaning the one for Obama that we just discussed with Spielberg, Geffen, and Katzenberg, the fundraiser represents a major slap for Obama's main competitor, Senator Hillary Clinton, who has received financial support from all three moguls in the past. Ooh, it's a big slap to Hillary, because Obama's getting a fundraiser thrown from him by three guys who have pretty much consistently given money to Hillary. Now, is she going to consider that a slap? Unlikely. It just means that they're going to do one for her also. Spielberg, Geffen, and Katzenberg, along with other employees of their entertainment group DreamWorks SKG, have contributed $47,000 to Clinton's sister 2000 New York Senate campaign. So there you have it. They've given her a ton of money over the years. Spielberg alone has contributed $11,000 to Clinton since that campaign, and his political consultant Andy Spann, or Spahn perhaps, emphasized that Spielberg and Geffen have not yet officially endorsed Mr. Obama. Said Spann, quote, Mr. Katzenberg is endorsing Senator Obama's candidacy. Mr. Spielberg is co-hosting the event but has not made any endorsements as of yet, end quote. Spahn added that Spielberg, quote, expects to be helpful to a few candidates during this exploratory phase and may host fundraisers for Clinton and John Edwards as well. Said Spann, quote, Spielberg also likes John Edwards and has a relationship with him. Those are the two that who he also likes, end quote. So Spielberg likes Edwards. Spielberg likes Clinton. And, of course, they like Obama as well. So, again, in indicating here, these are just the exploratory phases. So, basically, the politicians get to go out and glad hand and make oodles and oodles and oodles of cash and then decide that they want to run for president and, of course, spend, you know, some of that money. And then, of course, they still keep the rest. But whatever happens, right? I mean, in the primaries, you know, Hillary's going to win. So what does that mean? That Hillary is the Democratic Party's choice for to run for president. Obviously, players like Spielberg and Katzenberg and Geffen are going to endorse Hillary. They're going to throw money at her if she's the one chosen. So it doesn't even matter about this fundraiser. But again, the headline says Hillary's Hollywood friends switch sides. That's not what the story says. So it's not gloomy for Hillary in any capacity. Anyway, it goes on. It says, it is likely those celebrities who have expressed support for Obama's candidacy, including George Clooney, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Oprah Winfrey, Oliver Stone, and super agent Ari Emanuel, will be at the Beverly Hilton on February 20th. So, goody for them. I guess they could afford that kind of money. Anyway, goes on. From the AP today, every American should have health care coverage within 6 years, Democratic Senator Barack Obama said Thursday as he set an ambitious goal soon after jumping into the 2008 presidential race. Oh, no! Obama's calling for universal health care. He's stolen Hillary's thunder. That's what it seems, right? Right now. But that's not the case. And again, we'll get into the story. Obama said at a conference of Families USA, a healthcare advocacy group, quote, the time has come for universal healthcare in America. I am absolutely determined that by the end of the first term of the next president, we should have universal healthcare in this country, end quote, said the senator from Illinois. Now, you notice he didn't say the first term of the next president, me. Now, again, he hasn't officially said he's going to run either. He's forming an exploratory committee to explore the possibility of exploring a capacity to explore the possibility of being president. So when he said that, I'm determined by the end of the first term of the next president, we should have universal health care in this country. What he should have said is, if I decide to run for president, after I win, we'll have it. Right? Because then what he's saying in that capacity is, if you vote for me, I'll make this happen. This is something I'm committed to. Well, that's not what he said. Okay, what he said was, and obviously if he was thinking about running for president and he's thinking about that being his big campaign issue, he would have made it a point, because then he could add more people, more celebrities show up and endorse him and spend oodles of money on him at that February 20th event. But that's not what he said. What he said was, by the end of the first term of the next president, I'm determined that we should have universal health care. Okay. Would have been a great opportunity for him to raise some funds with his exploratory committee, but he didn't do that. I think that's noteworthy, too. Now it goes on. Obama was previewing what is shaping up to be a theme of the 2008 presidential primary, Democratic primary. One of his rivals, 2004 VP nominee John Edwards, also said, as he announced his candidacy last month, that he will offer a proposal for universal health care. Ah, yes! So John Edwards is stealing Hillary's thunder. Or is he? So now Obama, Edwards, and Hillary all talking about universal health care. Obama said, while plans are offered in every campaign season with, quote, much fanfare and promise, end quote, they collapse under the weight of Washington politics, leaving citizens to struggle with the skyrocketing costs. Obama's call was an echo of a speech he made last April when he said that Democrats, quote, need to cling to the core values that make us Democrats, the belief in universal health care, the belief in universal education, and then we should be agnostic in terms of how to achieve those values, end quote. So right there, he's saying that the core values of the Democratic Party are those things, which is why he would push for it, Edwards would push for it, and Hillary, of course, would push for it. And then it goes on. His argument Thursday not only will be considered through the prism of his presidential campaign, but weighed against rivals Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton's ill-fated plan to overhaul the health care insurance system when she was first lady. So there you go. They're saying, oh, yes, Hillary mentioned that she had tried to do that, of course, when she was just a first lady. Well, couldn't do it as first lady because first lady pretty much just does, you know, window dressing issues. But as president, she could pull it off. That's what I get out of that story.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. Thursday evening, and you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Let me remind you, of course, at this point that this hour is being brought to you by Howard Creek Resort. Very, very cool place from what it looks like. I look forward to visiting there. Now, they feature 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to a multitude of recreational activities as only the natural state can offer. Howard Creek Resort is a perfect family vacation spot any time of the year. Just call them. at 877-253-7690. Ask them any questions you might have. And, of course, visit the website, www.howardcreek.com. Fantastic stuff. So, as I mentioned about all this whole thing, I think this is just trying to sort of make the case that universal health care is a big deal. Now, of course, they have, like, the pilot program in place in Massachusetts, and it's a terrible program from what I've seen, insofar as to say that it punishes people who do not want to have medical insurance. Now, you'd say, well, why does anybody not want medical insurance? Well, quite simply, that the better your insurance is, the more likely, of course, you're going to acquiesce to the numerous amounts of tests the doctors and whatnot will send you out on. Okay? Because the doctors don't feel like they're sticking it to you. They feel like they're sticking it to the insurance company. And you feel like, hey, it's covered. Why not? Have a few more tests. Well, there you go. So it's just one of those things. Inevitably, of course, to me, it seems like a bad thing. I've actually had people tell me this, that the better your insurance is, the less likely you are to survive. So that should be some comfort, perhaps, to you if you don't have really good insurance, or maybe you don't have any like me. So the story, anyway, indicates that that's sort of a big thing. And again, it also highlights that this was something Hillary had talked about years ago when she was just the first lady. So Hillary, in essence, on a national level, Hillary's the only one to even make a step forward in that regard. And yet the entire Democratic Party is saying that's one of their core values and that's something they should all campaign on, indicating that they're going to make that the big highlight issue. And again, all that does is make Hillary look better because she tried to do that before. So when I talk about the whole election system being a fixed thing, about the whole thing being rigged, you might say, as I said earlier, that Frank's just a crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, maybe, maybe not. Yesterday, Associated Press. Two election workers convicted Wednesday of rigging a recount of the 2004 presidential election to avoid a more thorough review in Ohio's most populous county. Jacqueline Maiden, elections coordinator for the Cuyahoga County Elections Board, and ballot manager Kathleen Dreamer, each were convicted of a felony count of negligent misconduct of an elections employee. They were also convicted of one misdemeanor count each of failure of elections employees to perform their duty. Convicted. Felony count of negligent misconduct and misdemeanor count of failure to perform their duty. Prosecutors accused Maiden and Dreamer of secretly reviewing pre-selected ballots before a public recount on December 16, 2004. They worked behind closed doors for 3 days to pick ballots that they knew would not cause discrepancies when checked by hand, said prosecutors. So in essence, they made sure to not give the appearance of any sort of problems with the electronic voting machine versus the paper trail, I suppose you could say, the computer log trail, okay? Defense attorney Roger Seinenberg said that the workers were following procedures as they understood them, indicating that they didn't realize it was wrong or that the policy was to do exactly what they did. Ohio, it says, gave President Bush the electoral votes he needed to defeat Democratic Senator John Kerry in the close election and hold on to the White House in 2004. Yeah, well, that sounds like a fixed election to me. Maiden and Dreamer... Oh, excuse me. I skipped a line. Special Prosecutor Kevin Baxter did not claim that the workers' actions affected the outcome of the election because Kerry gained 17 votes and Bush lost 6 in the county's recount. So, yeah, he's saying, look, this is not the reason that Bush won. Well, they have to say that, of course, because otherwise people would be in an uproar and this story would be all over every single mainstream news outlet because it would be required that it be on every single mainstream media outlet. Now, here's the interesting thing. Maiden and Dreamer, who still work for the elections board, they still work for the elections board, face a possible sentence of 6 to 18 months for felony conviction. Sentencing will take place on February 26th. I wonder if they'll get a pardon or something. You know, maybe 1,000 hours of community service to be served, you know, eating lunch in the White House or something like that. It's just one of those things. You know, we talked about it. Everybody warned about it. We were talking about vote fraud and the electronic voting machines back in 2000 and, I want to say 2002. So here it is, 2004, of course. It was a big old sham. And this is some proof of it. And of course, then, you know, right before midterms, people were talking about electronic voting machines. But then Democrats won and everything died down. All by design, folks. All of it by design. Now, this is an interesting story because you're saying, oh, this is, this guy's definitely in the know. One Dick Cheney came out yesterday from the AFP. U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney said that Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton will not win the White House in 2008 and would not make a good president if she does. So you're saying, whoa, you know, this guy's in the know, and he's saying it's not going to happen. Hillary can't win. She's not going to win. And you're saying, well, this is a guy that would fix votes. This is a guy who would shoot his friend in the face with a shotgun. He knows what he's talking about. Don't mess with Dick. Well, Dick is doing his job. And what's his job? Of course, to infuriate people to make them think more about Hillary. And that's what he's done. He said Hillary won't win and she'd make a crappy president even if she did. What? That's going to infuriate people. People who are mad at George W. Bush, Democrats who are just all starry-eyed about Hillary and the prospect of her being president. Another Clinton White House. Oh, it's a dream come true. I've been praying for years. Okay. So Dick just made everybody really excited about Hillary just because they want to make Dick angry. Cheney, who in October, listen to this, had called Hillary Clinton, quote, a formidable candidate who could win the race to replace U.S. President George W. Bush, told CNN television, quote, I don't think she'd make a good leader. Okay. So in October, he said Hillary would make a formidable candidate and could win the White House. And now he's saying, no way, she wouldn't be a very good leader. She couldn't win. When asked why, Cheney replied, quote, because she's a Democrat. I don't agree with her philosophically and from a policy standpoint, end quote. When asked whether she would be president, the VP replied, quote, I don't, end quote, but declined to predict the winner of the 2008 election, except to remind his questioner that he was not running and declare, quote, it won't be me, end quote. Clinton announced Saturday she was looking to become the first woman U.S. president. So, she danced around in 2004 and didn't necessarily say she was interested in running, although somebody did file with the Federal Elections Commission. They did file for Hillary to possibly run in 2004, and again, she didn't, and it was no big deal because they had two Bonesmen running, and it was perfect. They already had the fix in. And the time was not right for Hillary because George W. Bush hadn't really stacked the deck yet. He hadn't really screwed things up enough to make Hillary look good. Because honestly, that's the biggest problem they're going to have with trying to usher her into the White House, is trying to make her look good as a candidate. She is not polished. She's not suave. She's not subtle. And she's not a good actress, which are pretty much all of the big things. You know, you have to be able to lie with a straight face. These are qualities that are almost essential in a politician. So what does Hillary have going for her? Absolutely nonstop, crazy, obsessive determination, drive, and ambition. That's what she's got. So they would love to have her in there. I mean, Hillary is just a twisted, twisted human being. And this would be great for the powers that be. And again, all of you out there, you party line, voters, Democrats especially, maybe you're saying, well, Frank, you're just a jerk. I can't believe you'd say that about Hillary. Well, guess what? Hillary's not going to repeal the Patriot Act. Hillary's not going to end the war on terror. Hillary's not going to bring home the troops, okay? So put that in your pipe and smoke it. This one came out on the 24th, and you can find this at the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. It says, don't worry, Dick Cheney says it's all perfectly legal. The VP made it a point to go on Fox News Sunday last week and declare that the recently reported spying being done on Americans by the military is all just fine and dandy. As usual, the VP cut through all the legal niceties with his explanation of why the military's use of an investigative tool known as a national security letter to obtain the banking and credit records of potentially hundreds of Americans was not a violation of the general rule against domestic intelligence gathering by the military. Cheney said, quote, there's nothing wrong with it or illegal. It doesn't violate people's civil rights, end quote. Okay. Well, this is an editorial, obviously, and it says, Ah, it's legal because Cheney says it is, just like waterboarding isn't torture because the VP considers it otherwise. If only law school had been that easy. This blithe dismissal of significant legal issues is reminiscent of Cheney's take on Guantanamo, where holding hundreds of men indefinitely without charge was not an outrage against our constitutional heritage, but an all-expenses-paid vacation. Cheney said in a CNN interview, quote, "They're very well treated down there. They're living in the tropics," end quote. Ah, yes. Beautiful postcard scenery. Cheney is unconcerned that the military is collecting personal information on Americans because he reviles the very idea of privacy for anyone but his own bunker itself. But there are valid reasons why the armed forces have been traditionally barred from this kind of activity. On Thursday, during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, Senator Arlen Specter, Republican from Pennsylvania, stated flatly that the Defense Department, quote, has no authority to investigate American citizens, end quote. And Gonzalez acknowledged that it would be, quote-unquote, very troubling if the Pentagon were engaged in those practices. Even Pentagon spokesman Major Patrick Ryder said, quote, "The FBI maintains primacy when it comes to investigations within the United States," end quote, although he adamantly maintains that the military is doing nothing wrong. So they're saying, absolutely, this and this and this, but they're still doing it. New York Times found that administrative subpoenas known as national security letters, which are issued internally with no court review, have been used since September 11th to collect financial information in up to 500 investigations, which means that thousands of such letters have probably been issued for personal banking and credit data. The military says all this is okay because the letters it issues are non-compulsory, meaning that banks have, quote-unquote, volunteered this information. Another reason I don't use banks. The Times also discovered that once the military gets this information, it keeps it, even if the suspect is essentially exonerated, and the collected file soon will be added to a vast database. So what kind of threats, quote-unquote, does the military consider worthy of investigating? How about Quakers or the Rhode Island Community Coalition for Peace? A new report for the ACLU documents nearly 200 incidents where the Pentagon accumulated and maintained in its threat database the activities of peace groups in the United States. The Defense Department has said it was a mistake to keep tabs on the plans of nonviolent protesters. Still, the ACLU had to sue to compel the departments to disclose the extent of what had done. This kind of overreaction to ideological opponents doesn't inspire much trust. It is bad enough that the FBI has used these letters by the tens of thousands when it should be getting the approval of a court before prying into our private business, and now the military is elbowed in. No doubt about it, it's Dick Cheney's world, and we just live in it. Thanks, Dick. So, there's more. Listen to this one from Dick. Came out today, CBSNews.com. The White House reaction to the Senate resolution opposing President Bush's decision to send more troops to Iraq came from Vice President Dick Cheney. In a word, he was defiant, saying that the general idea of a resolution, quote, won't stop us, end quote. So it was a non-binding Senate resolution passed, and it basically said, hey, we don't approve of you, George W. Bush, sending troops, but guess what? It's non-binding. He's going to do it anyway. Not that the Democrats, and look at who is involved with this, okay? It's the CFR stuff. So it's just to put on a show for the voters, really, okay? They know there's a lot of disenfranchised folks out there, and they want to get them excited about how their political representatives are doing good things for them. It's not true. This is, Cheney said it's not going to stop us because, of course, it's not supposed to stop them. It's non-binding. Cheney said, quote, we're moving forward. The Congress has control over the purse strings. They have the right, obviously, if they want to cut off funding, end quote. Cheney said Wednesday in an occasionally testy CNN interview. He went on, quote, but in terms of this effort, the president has made his decision. We've consulted extensively with them. We'll continue to consult with Congress. But the main fact of the matter is we need to get the job done, end quote. He dismissed suggestions that the Bush administration's credibility is on the line because of mistakes in Iraq as, quote unquote, hogwash, saying, quote, the fact is we can complete the task in Iraq. We're going to do it, end quote. So there's your non-binding resolution, and there's your your effects from it. So he said, hey, it's going to happen. So more troops to Iraq. Cheney said it's going to happen. We already knew that. No big surprise. Did you know that more are going to Afghanistan also? Very interesting. So troops in Kuwait, Afghanistan, Iraq, any number of other places. Israel, of course, has U.S. troops and things like that. certainly equipment and munitions. So, in essence, we've got an enormous force arrayed against Iran. Okay, but here's the story on Afghanistan from the AP today. The U.S. Defense Department has decided to extend the combat tour of 3,200 soldiers from a 10th Mountain Division Brigade in Afghanistan by 4 months in hopes of quelling the violence. This decision comes a week after Defense Secretary Robert Gates met with commanders in Afghanistan and heard a request for more troops. Ah. So, you know, he was walking along the street and heard a voice in the background going, more troops. He said, what? What did I hear? Did I hear a request for more troops? More troops. I did. I heard it again. I heard a request for more troops. Okay, you've twisted my arm. I'll send in more troops. Story goes on. Lieutenant General Carl Eikenberry, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, at first asked about 1,200 troops. Gates said he was, quote-unquote, strongly inclined to meet the commander's request, but wanted to consider other options before deciding how many to hold over. So basically, the request was for 1,200, and Robert Gates, the new defense secretary, said, well, I'm strongly inclined to do that, but let me think about it some more. Well, he thought about it and decided, hey, 1,200 is not enough. Let's send a couple thousand more. 3,200 more to Afghanistan, in essence. Already, President George W. Bush has planned to send more than 21,000 additional troops to Iraq. He's facing strong criticism as he struggles to persuade the Democratic-controlled Congress and a weary public to have patience with his war policies. The Afghanistan decision further stresses a military straining to wage major wars on two fronts so far. There's more, and we'll pick it up when we come back, folks. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
I'm gonna find my baby.
Welcome back. Tail end of our first hour already here on this fine Thursday evening. Our guest will be joining us here in the next hour. But I want to finish up this story here. It goes on. The Afghanistan decision further stresses the military strain to wage major wars on two fronts. But again, of course, it will be more. The extension also raises questions about the future course of the conflict in Afghanistan. NATO and U.S. troops have struggled to control an increased flow of Taliban fighters into the country and a stubborn drug trade that has financed the insurgency. And, of course, then you probably had seen this one from Wednesday, AFP. The NATO-led force in Afghanistan said it would not accept responsibility pending an investigation for an incident in which a Pakistani soldier was killed and two wounded in the cross-border fire. Islamabad summoned the British and U.S. ambassadors on Tuesday to lodge a strong protest following the incident on Monday. NATO spokesman Mark Leahy told reporters, quote, "We deeply regret what has happened, but until we have the investigation, that should not be read as saying that we did this. We're not assuming responsibility for the incident. That's a job for the investigation," end quote. Pakistan says foreign troops stationed on the Afghan side of the border fired upon a Pakistani checkpoint in the troubled North Waziristan tribal district. NATO's international security assistance force admits that it carried out an airstrike in the same area, but said it was against insurgents moving towards the Pakistan border after a rocket attack on a base there in Afghanistan. Very interesting. So it's just a big old mess. Anyway, you know, when the legality of certain things like spying on Americans comes up, then you get stories like this one. It's an editorial from the Houston Chronicle, came out on the 24th. It says, in the past year, 11 U.S. attorneys have resigned their positions, some under pressure from their Justice Department superiors and the White House, even though they had commendable performance records. Democratic senators are concerned that the high turnover is linked to an obscure and recently passed provision of the Patriot Act. The provision allows the Bush administration to fill vacancies with interim prosecutors for the remainder of the president's term without submitting them to the Senate for confirmation. Previously, interim appointments were made by a vote of federal judges in the districts served by the outgoing U.S. attorneys. U.S. Senator Mark Pryor, Democrat from Arkansas, contends that in his state, U.S. Attorney Bud Cummins was improperly ousted in favor of a protege of Bush's political advisor, Karl Rove. Likewise, in California, U.S. Attorneys Carol Lamb of San Diego and Kevin Ryan of San Francisco were forced from their positions. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat from California, alleged that Lamb fell out of favor with her Washington bosses for spearheading the bribery prosecution and conviction of Republican Congressman Randy Cunningham last year. Lamb reportedly had other politicians in her sights, so she was removed and replaced with a more Bush-friendly person, is what they're saying. U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez denied political motives, figured in the multiple resignations of top prosecutors, and pledged that all interim appointments would be submitted to the Senate for confirmation. He reiterated that U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president and can be removed for any number of reasons, including job performance and their standing in the districts. Gonzalez is correct that the president is vested with the power to appoint U.S. attorneys. Unfortunately, the Patriot Act change eliminated the ability of the Senate to exercise its constitutional oversight of those nominations to make sure that they are qualified and not simply political plums handed out to supporters in the waning years of an administration. No president should be able to fire top governmental prosecutors from their positions for political reasons and then install successors without a thorough vetting by the constitutionally charged legislative body. And yet that is exactly what is going on. And there's more, and of course our guests will be joining us as well, so please, my friends, stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this quick station ID.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given